Welcome to The Ether. Today is Thursday, January 20th, 2022. This episode of The Ether is brought to you by Orbital Command, a community validator on Terra dedicated to educating, expanding, and promoting the lunatic community. Take advantage of their Terra Luna Intel report on Telegram, bringing you the hottest news and updates on all things Terra every day. Use the link in the show notes to find it. You can also support their community efforts by considering them next time you're delegating or redelegating your Luna. Find out more at orbitalcommand.io. TerraSpaces appreciates their support. Today on The Ether, we have Lavanna Dragons Explain Like I'm 10 by the JPEG Lord. Let's take a listen.
I look at the Discord. I look at the Twitter. I look at any sponsors they have, any influencers. And a lot of times I hit dead end with projects. I'm like, okay, this is not what I'm interested in. And that was 3 hours down the drain. And a lot of people were, I saw Lavanna Dragons in a lot of different places, and I go to the website and it's like Nested Egg and like Adult Dragon and Baby Dragon and Meteor Dust. And I'm like, all right, it takes me 5 hours just to research like a basic PFP project. Like for this particular Twitter, like piece I'm putting together,
recording,
I'm not gonna have
progress.
Time for this. I got wonderful. Here's some recording. I got a ton of people hitting me up like, yo, why did you leave out Lavanna Dragons and stuff like that? And the truth of the matter is because I actually just found it to be, I guess, for lack of a better word, an ambitious project. Like, I just didn't want to spend the time doing it because it was just like a lot. And so just so everybody knows, like, Lavanna isn't paying me for this space. This is purely, I was just curious. I was like, hey, can you talk to me about this? Because as you guys know, like, the easiest way to learn is just to ask an expert rather than having to read a bunch of stuff. And so Jonathan was gracious enough to say yes, and we're doing a Twitter Spaces now. And so I have a few questions for you, Jonathan, if that's cool.
Are
you ready?
Absolutely.
Okay, awesome. So, and then at the end, if people have questions, because I do think that this is a little bit more of a complicated one, we can let people on, and people have to excuse me, because again, this is my first time hosting, so it might be a little rocky when we get to that stage. Yeah, hoping for maybe like 30 to 45 minutes here. So we'll see how it goes. Okay, so Jonathan, here's a starter question for you. So using a third grade vocabulary or to the best of your ability, how would you describe Lavanna sentences in just a few sentences? Like, is it a gaming project? Is it a GameFi? Is it Metaverse? Like, what is the play here?
Lavanna stands for Leverage Any Asset. Lavanna is a financial tool, which is, I guess I can't use the word financial tool. Lavanna is a way that people can move money and hopefully have more money than they started with. And Lavanna has a goal to build an experience which is surrounded by adventure and excitement, and can attract tens of millions of new people to come to the Terra ecosystem.
Okay. All right. There's a lot to unpack there, even though it was, explained very based simply. So I appreciate that. So what does all that have to do with the dragons? And also, just I want to make one other comment to everybody listening. I purposely didn't do much homework on this. And it's not because I'm lazy. It's because I wanted to put myself in the shoes of just the average person who comes on this website or just feels really intimidated by it. Because that's how I felt. I was like, wow, this is like way over my head. I don't even know what's going on here. And I've been in crypto since 2017, been in NFTs for about a year, which is more or less the maximum you can be in NFTs. So how do the dragons tie in with everything that you just said?
That's a great question. If you don't mind, I'd like to back up a little bit to how we came to the conclusion about this methodology of approaching mainstreaming DeFi, because really that's what our goal is to create a version of DeFi that is not going to be used by a few hundred people monthly or even a few thousand people monthly, but is going to be a model that's repeatable and expandable to attract tens of millions and then eventually, please God, hundreds of millions of participants. And my background is I'm an entrepreneur. I'm 38. I've been building since I was a kid. We were called Script Kiddies in the 90s, and I got into crypto in 2016 after I had an exit from a company in the e-commerce space, and I had a lot of experience building products that were used by tens of millions of people every day. I built or been a part of a team that built a number of these types of massive breakout products. And when I got into crypto, it was initially as a retail investor and then as an institutional investor. I was a researcher and then a partner at a crypto hedge fund. And when I dedicated my professional career to crypto, I joined a scalability team, a cryptography team called Starkware that produces a technology called zero knowledge proofs. And I led business development at Starkware for roughly 2 years. And there were two major projects that we had at Starkware. One was a company called Immutable, which produces a game called Gods Unchained. And they also now produce the third largest NFT marketplace in crypto, which is called Immutable X. And because I had a background in gaming, mostly from a consumer perspective, but also was a technologist, understood cryptography and understood zero knowledge proofs at a level that there probably are only, I don't know, maybe a few hundred people in the world. It's a pretty new technology. So I was requested to lead technical sales for Immutable. And so I would come on the calls to many gaming companies, and I would explain to them not only how NFTs work, but also conceptually how you could onboard your existing audience into the crypto ecosystem through the use of scarce digital assets. And because of my background from a hedge fund as a researcher, so I was also very familiar with different economic models of creating incentivizations and gamification. And it was my responsibility to explain to many of these traditional gaming companies the opportunities that would come to market over the next half a decade or decade within the entertainment sector of blockchain. So that was one of our major projects, and that was probably the most fun project that I had on my plate at Starkware. Now, another project, which was definitely our most successful one, was a company called DYDX, which produces a perpetual swap system. Now, perpetual swaps are a type of exchange. They are similar to AMMs, an automated market maker like Uniswap, but they have some significant advantages. With an AMM, the way that liquidity is provided, it always needs to be provided in pairs. And even if you wanted three assets that needed to be that to be traded, like A, B, and C, you would need a pair of A and B, and then you would need B and C. And then if you wanted to minimize fees or slippage, you would need a pair of A and C. So that incurs something called capital inefficiency, because you have to put more capital into the exchange than really should be necessary in order to be able to provide those types of trades, which means that the investors that put the money there are going to get less profits because of the inefficiency. Now, this is all kind of boring finance, and I'm sure you're asking yourself what this has to do with dragons. But if you give
Jonathan,
me,
I think it would be, if it's okay, I'm going to do a quick pause here.
Sure.
So let me tell you this: like everything you just said is part of it is over my head. So like I'm familiar with automated market makers and Uniswap and all of that, and also some companies that are doing innovative stuff like Bancor, which is doing like single side liquidity. Like I'm familiar with that. Once you get into zero knowledge proofs, that's something I'm aware of. Couldn't tell you much about it. Couldn't even really define it simply. And so I do want to just, for people who are maybe not so advanced on the call, I just want to acknowledge how impressed I am with your expertise in this. Because like you said, there's probably like a few hundred people who are actually competent in things like zero knowledge proofs, and who are actually innovators in that space. And, you know, being on the team like Immutable X, which is, I've only used it once. It was for one of Elio's drops, and I don't even think I got in on it. But I mean, that's like it's a project that has a really good reputation. And I think it's important for people who are researching NFTs, because I get messages all the time, like probably hundreds every week, where someone just sends me a random NFT and they're like, "Hey, JPEG Lord, what do you think of this?" And I'm like, like, what do you want me to do? Research this for like 5 hours? But one of the things that if somebody's literally looking at an NFT and they're not really sure if it's a good play or if it's not, the first thing you can do is, and I actually just did this with you on the call. I went to LinkedIn and I typed in Levana Protocol, and I see 23. It's a real company. I see your VP of Partnerships, Jacob. I see your decentralized finance, director, Wesley. These are all people you work with. I'm on the right company, right? Is that correct?
Yes, you are. The problem is that a lot of people are either don't use LinkedIn or are nervous about being associated with a blockchain project through LinkedIn. But yes, you definitely can get a taste of some of the quality team members, which it's pretty much an all-star cast.
It's rare too, right? Like I haven't seen, and again, you guys, just so you guys know, I want to repeat this one more time. I'm not being paid for this at all. I am curious, I'm researching, and I'm trying to tell people how I think through this. So I'm not trying to sway people one way or the other. All I'm saying is, you know, Jonathan said a lot of stuff that was over my head and maybe over other people's head as well. But from what I can pick up from it and what I'm looking at LinkedIn, like Fully Docs team, 23 people. I'm guessing you guys have had some people invest, because this is a heavy team you have here. So I'm guessing we can talk about investment in a bit. I'm guessing you guys have had some investors, and you know, your experience, Jonathan, is really impressive. There's very few people in the world who can say that they've worked, you know, with zero knowledge proofs and Immutable X. You know, your experience is actually you're much more experienced than I am by a large order of magnitude. You know, NFTs and crypto, they're more of a hobby for me. I still work full time, and so. It's already a good sign. I just wanted to let people know that who are like, "Hey, I don't exactly know what AMMs are and zero knowledge proofs." Like, that's fine. I don't know all the ins and outs of them either, but Jonathan, to me so far, checks a box of like legit. So Jonathan, I'll be done in just a sec here. I know I've been cutting you off, but to people who are like, "Hey, is this a good project?" Start with, is the team doxed? Do they have good experience? Like Jonathan has years and years of experience working with some really big companies that are reputable in the space. Like Immutable X has a really good reputation in the space. And go to LinkedIn. I'm on it right now. And I'm looking at 23 people who work at the Levana Protocol. And these are people, you can look at their job history. You can see if they're, I go so deep in this stuff that I'm actually looking to see if they're job hoppers. Like, is this a guy who's like, "Oh, shiny object, crypto, blockchain, metaverse. I want to go make a buck in this," you know? And like, and their profile is like serial entrepreneur. And it's like, okay, dude, like, have you actually built something? Have you actually sold it? And so this is how deep I go on something. So before you ask me or you ask anybody else, "Hey, is this a good project?" Go check out the team. A lot of this stuff is on there. And if they're not doxxed, it's not an instant no, but it's something where I might throw in the towel. There's very few exceptions I make for that. Like if someone has a really good Twitter reputation, I might do it if they actually have a good one. But there's a lot of cases where influencers are kind of scammers too. So anyway, I just wanted to give people some tips there and just say that so far the team is looking really strong, Jonathan. And so anyway, continue. Sorry to cut you off.
Well, my career, something that was announced, I believe yesterday, was that I was just invited to sit on the board at the LFG Council. So that is the Luna Foundation Guard, which is dedicated to supporting blockchain innovation, specifically around the Terra ecosystem. So I am one of the five board members sitting. I was invited by Do Kwon about 2 months ago when we were spending time together. And so it's an honor and a pleasure to kind of get to be the dumbest guy in the room around those tables.
Well, LFG is probably the best three-letter acronym you could have, right? I mean, let's fucking go. Like, yeah. I think that's what it originally was, and they just kind of made some other thing around it. So that's very memeable. So they're definitely big brains for coming up with that one. So okay. So let's try and get back on track here, Levana Dragon. So there's some DeFi applications and stuff.
Yeah, I'll fast
let's
forward.
Get to the dragons.
I don't exactly.
Know if it's presumptuous to get the dragons, but I would like no, to get there it's, at some point.
Absolutely. So I'll tie that up. Is that that the what's interesting about a perpetual swap is that it's a much more flexible type of exchange because it can support things like taking short positions or long positions with leverage, and because the assets are synthetic, it can actually the exchange can support things that don't assets that don't exist on the blockchain. So if you have Uniswap, the only things you can trade on Uniswap are things that were minted on Uniswap. So either ERC20 tokens or RAP tokens, but you can't leverage anything. And a perpetual swap can allow you to build an exchange that's perfect for things like metaverse or perfect for, you know, you could make an exchange where people are taking positions in the rain in Paris or in, virtual gold in World of Warcraft or anything. So it's a better technology than Uniswap. That's all I wanted to say there is that I had on my plate very intimately at one of the most prestigious, institutes of like core cryptography, these two very impressive projects. And I kind of saw like peanut butter and chocolate that like, what would you get if you just combined gamification, which I believe is the avenue to mass adoption within crypto. And I believe that Terra is uniquely positioned to be able to capture a significant portion of that mass adoption. What if you?
And why do you think that, Jonathan? Why do you think Terra is uniquely positioned for that?
Because it's focused on commerce. I think at the end of the day, what most people in the world want is a censorship-resistant stablecoin. It's far more useful than an asset whose value changes all the time. It's hard to price things in Bitcoin. I love Bitcoin as a hedge against inflation, but I'm not going to pay my rent in an amount of Bitcoin. I'm not going to go to the 7-Eleven convenience store and buy things in Bitcoin. Maybe they do in El Salvador, but at the end of the day, I want something that is a currency, and part of being a currency is consistency. And the problem with Ethereum is that, besides for the fees, is that there's the only successful stable coins on Ethereum have been controlled by banks, and the banks have backdoors where they can freeze your funds, they can take your funds, they can blacklist you. They can blacklist applications. So the DeFi ecosystem, as has really grown today, which is really promoted by USDC, Circle, and USDT, Tether, are, in my view, house of cards. And if you look at the only way to build a censorship-resistant stablecoin is algorithmically. because you lose capital efficiency when you use a debt model like DAI or RAI or some of the derivatives of those types of assets, the MakerDAO reverse mortgage style. And so you really need something where there's a dual token. There's a relationship where there's one token which absorbs the volatility of the other. And then that's what creates the algorithm that provides the stability of the spendable asset. And Terra is really the only ecosystem that succeeded at doing that at any level of scale or any level of adoption.
Yeah, that's interesting. I almost feel like guilty about this, but I actually don't know much about Terra. Like, I'm more of an NFT guy, at least for the last 6 months or so. I never even owned Terra up until I started buying their NFTs, which is hilarious. I'm aware that there is some very symbiotic relationship between US, like basically a stablecoin and Terra. Something I know that it's like something where like Terra gets burned or and that's partially why the price goes up. But from what you said, like what kind of went off in my brain is this aha moment where, okay, so it's like with gaming, I was thinking, why not Solana? Because Solana has really cheap transaction fees, just like Terra does. But what Solana doesn't have that Terra does is this relationship with a stablecoin. Do you think that's a fair assessment? Like that would be like a
Absolutely.
Leg up?
Absolutely. And also what I like about the relationship between Solana and Luna, which is funny also because it's sun and moon, you know,
is that
they're both the smart contracts are written in Rust. They have a very robust bridge between the two of them. They've got a very nice relationship. I was actually an early investor. I met Anatola, the founder of Solana, in 2018. I flew out to Berlin actually to meet him while I was a researcher, and I was researching some of the underlying technology of Solana, and we ended up investing in him, and that was one of our fund's greatest investments.
What 200x what isn't bad or whatever it was.
We sold too early, but that's, you know, it's a hedge funds are not, you know, have a certain risk profile that they have to stick to. But, right. Everybody has that story, you know? It's while I'm incredibly impressed, I believe that the Cosmos ecosystem, is the right way to scale blockchains, and that what Do Kwon has created and everybody else that's come around the table, because it's definitely not a one-man show, but what he's created here at Terra has a good chance of being the primary financial ecosystem for a global economy that is interested in performing commerce based around a stable asset, which today is tied to the dollar, but it could also be tied to a basket of goods. It could be tied to a global GDP. The methodology that UST is used to that creates UST could be implemented with any type of a peg. It's just the fact that people need a peg that you need to be able to know what percentage of your salary is going to go to milk or gas or or rent without the, like, significant fluctuations. But I digress. That was just how we ended up at Terra, and that was a little bit of my background.
At some point, we got to talk about the dragons, right?
But
Jonathan, I just want to make one comment. I'm so appreciative that you hopped on this Twitter Spaces, because I don't know who's managing the Levana Twitter page, right? Like, I could have been talking to someone who just graduated from college with a degree in digital marketing or something like that, right?
Well, but we've got plenty of those. Yeah, we do plenty of those.
Sure. You're so much more, like, you're so much more experienced and like in this even than I am. That I'm really grateful that you're here and you took time, because like you know so much about this space. But anyway, so just want to say thanks again for joining. Let's talk about the dragons.
Now let's get to the project really kind of started. I think I was I might have been member 4 or 5 that joined the project.
And when did it start?
It started conceptually in August of 2019, And then the first lines of code, I believe, were written in February of 2020. And then I came on in around April, okay. if I remember correctly. So the so what we did is there's a bunch of different ways to make leverage, and we were incubated by the Delphi team, which is the probably the most prestigious researchers in the crypto space, and Delphi is incubating three projects today. One is called Astroport, which just recently launched to the tune of like $1.3 billion fully diluted market cap, and got about $80 million of, or $160 million of liquidity in their liquidity bootstrapping event. So it's a very successful project. It's an AMM, which is similar to Uniswap. And will include concentrated liquidity, which is like the Uniswap V3 model. Now, the Astroport was their first incubated project. Mars, which is a lending platform similar to Aave or Compound, is the second project. And then Levana, which is different implementations for creating leverage, is the third project. Now, and each one of them kind of piggybacks from a DeFi, a Legos, money Legos concept, one after the other. And so Astroport just launched. Soon enough, Mars will launch. And then, quickly after that, Levana will launch. Now, Levana, the first asset that Levana is producing is called Luna 2X, which is it's a token that roughly tracks double exposure of Luna. So if Luna was to go up, ideally in a volatility also has certain things called decay and there's rebalancing. But in a nutshell, over a short time frame, a leverage token will move roughly double of whatever the spot token was. So if there was 10% growth in Luna, then the goal of Luna 2X would be to have 20% growth. And the way that it's created is through depositing Luna into Mars and then borrowing UST against it and then going to Astroport and then swapping that UST for more Luna and doing that over and over again in large sums, kind of rolling up leverage and rolling down leverage to help minimize exposure to liquidation. Again, we're not really talking to a 5-year-old anymore, but I apologize for that. But one of the team members said, we need a badass mascot. And so we thought maybe a wolf and then like maybe a werewolf. And then we had an artist create a bunch of icons. And then we did some user testing on the icons to see who they liked the best. And the one that was picked that was the favorite, one of the comments said, "I really like this icon. It looks like such an awesome dragon." And we said, "Yeah, but that's a wolf." And they said, "No, it looks like a dragon." And then that kind of got it stuck in our heads that, you know what? A dragon is the perfect mascot for leverage because dragons actually in their mythology are very divided. Dragons in Eastern mythology represent wealth and good wishes and revival from the dead. If you're a Dragon Ball Z fan, then you've definitely seen that mythology and are familiar with it. But then if you are from Western culture, from Europe or the Americas, then you're familiar with with Tolkien, like the Hobbit, like Smaug, who steals gold, steals princesses, burns down villages. So a dragon is a perfect symbol for leverage because on one hand, it can create massive amounts of wealth and good tidings. But on the other hand, it can totally destroy you if your position gets wiped out. And so we started thinking, okay, so Levana is a dragon. And now where does she live? So she lives on Mars because that's where she came from, because that's technically the how the code base works, is that it's built on top of Mars. So then we started thinking about ideas of, well, how did the Dragon get to Mars? Where did it come from? Well, it probably didn't come, you know, was it born on Mars? It was born on Mars, but nothing's really born on Mars. So it had to have arrived somewhere. And then the that's where the idea of the meteor shower came from, which was the way that we introduced the NFTs to the community. And the NFT drop I'll talk about in a second, but once we had a mascot and once we had a narrative, so then we started writing stories.
Wait, Jonathan, can I pause you for a quick second?
Sure.
Because I just want to make sure that people are following this. So first of all, I'm impressed that you have so much room in your brain for such depth on the historical significance of dragons. And on top of the zero knowledge proof and everything else that you're able to cram in there. So that's impressive. And I see why dragons would be a cool mascot. And it seems like you guys are going down and even getting the super like significant details right, where someone's like, hey, like, let's go with the giraffe this time just for no reason at all because no one's done it. Okay, so I want to try and break down what I've heard so far in a really simple way. The most simple way that I can understand it. And to be honest, a lot of this is over my head so far. But basically, Levana is a protocol or company or however you want to call it, where you are able to leverage any asset, including very popular ones. And for those who don't know what leverage means, it's basically when you make a bet on something and you add in multipliers. So like, if I think Bitcoin is going to go up, well, let's say Bitcoin was $40,000. I could buy one Bitcoin for $40,000. And then if it goes to $50,000, I made $10,000. So, you know, $50,000 minus $40,000 is $10,000. But if I wanted to be super risk seeking, like if I was super confident Bitcoin was going to go to $50,000, what I could do is trade with leverage, which basically means that I would borrow extra Bitcoin. So I could go to an exchange and say, hey, I'm so confident that Bitcoin is going to go up. Will you please lend me like 5 Bitcoins, or let's say 10 for a nice even number? And so I would borrow 10 Bitcoins for $40,000 each. So now I would be in for a total position of $400,000. And if Bitcoin did what I thought it would, then I would make $100,000. So if it goes to 50, from 40, I would make $10,000 times the 10 Bitcoin or the extra 9 Bitcoins I borrowed. I make $100,000. Now, this is risky because if Bitcoin goes down, you would lose, it could go down by just a tiny amount and you would lose your entire principal, which would be one Bitcoin. So I think most people know what leverage is on the call, but I just want to make sure. So basically, it's just a way to increase your payout, but also there's risk that you could lose a lot. Because if Bitcoin, when I just had my one Bitcoin for 40,000, if it goes down to 35, well, I lost 5,000. In the scenario where I borrowed 10 Bitcoins, if it goes down to 35,000, I lose my entire Bitcoin. I lose the 40,000, 35,000, whatever it is. So it's risky. Personally, I'm probably even on leverage. I don't do it anymore because I feel like I don't have much of an edge over some people who are a lot smarter than me in the markets. And I can't sleep whenever I go to sleep at night with the leverage position. It's just like, it keeps me up. I wake up in the middle of the night, I refresh my CoinMarketCap app, and I'm just like, what's the price? What's the price? So it's not good for my mental health either. So basically, Levana is a protocol where you can leverage existing assets like Terra or something like that, and then also potentially tie in some other assets. Like you gave the example of like World of Warcraft gold, but perhaps it could be like the price of a galactic punk, or I'm making stuff up here. But
it's the floor of NFTs is a great example. Okay. That let's say I want to be exposed. Let's say that I think that a certain NFT set is way overvalued. So I want to be able to short it. And I also want to be able to short it with 5x leverage or 10x leverage. So a perpetual swap would be able to generate that market. And then as long as enough people participate in that market, between long and short, so then the market will be stable. And then you also have a risk fund, which is backing that market to both help it grow, to provide yield for liquidity providers, and to help mitigate the risk of the whole platform against black swan events, where one side, you know, where if everybody's shorting, for example, and something just crashes down to zero, so then, you know, you need to make sure that you have the funds to be able to pay everybody that's shorted. So it's a rather complex financial tool, and it's incredibly popular in the traditional finance ecosystem, to the point that it's really about 40 times every day, about 40 times as much trading happens within derivatives than within spot. So meaning on Wall Street, most trading is using methodologies like perpetual swap, but that hasn't really taken off yet in the crypto ecosystem. In the crypto ecosystem, it's still a young experimental technology. And I believe after really learning a lot of the core benefits of it, that that it's just a matter of time until most trading within crypto is actually trading on perpetual swaps, not on AMMs. We kind of inherited AMMs because of a lot of the technical constraints of Ethereum. But as blockchains improve, as we kind of get to blockchain, you know, 3.0 or whatever you want to call it, the inefficiencies around AMMs kind of like create cracks in the walls and you know, reveal themselves. And I think that we're kind of seeing that happen. And the success of DYDX and other great protocols like Perpetual Finance or MCDEX, you know, are kind of helping show that narrative is actually true. Again, we haven't gotten really to the NFTs.
Yeah, we'll get there. I'm going to get to that next. I just want to make sure people understand where we've gotten so far. And I know this might be boring to some people, but I do want to explain what an AMM is to some people. And again, I'm not going to explain this perfectly, Jonathan, but I'm going for simplicity over accuracy with this. But for those who are like, well, I don't know what an AMM is. I've never used Uniswap. I don't know what that is. So basically, Uniswap, in a lot of ways, is just like Coinbase, or it's just like Kraken, or it's like Binance. It's just a place where you can go and buy and sell crypto. So if I want to go buy Bitcoin, I could go deposit some money, and I could go buy Bitcoin on Coinbase. Now, let's say I wanted to buy a token like Bytes, for example. Like, I buy Bytes. It's a Neo Tokyo. It's a gaming project, whatever. It's not listed on Coinbase. So where do I go? I go to Uniswap, and there are basically people... it's just another place where you can swap tokens. So I could swap some Bitcoin for some Bytes. It's a way, Uniswap is valuable to me because it gives me access to tokens that I can't buy on normal exchanges like a Coinbase or something like that. Now, how those automated market makers work, that's a conversation for another day. But for those who are wondering, and correct me if I'm wrong here, Jonathan, but Lavana will be another place where people can trade like tokens. So I could maybe trade Luna for UST or something like that. But then also it will also be a place where you can trade like levered assets. So I could do like a 2X or something like that. Is that fair to say, or are you guys not an AMM as well?
So the technology itself can be used equivalent as an AMM, meaning you can get spot exposure to positions. But really what the main use case of it is to get leveraged exposure to positions.
Is there anybody else doing this? Because I don't know anything on the ETH side where you can get levered exposure to, like, I don't know where I could buy like a 5X exposure to ETH. I know there's ways to do it with like, there's ways around it, right? Where I could go to Aave and take out a loan and then I could buy more ETH and then I have to pay it back. So there's ways to do it, but there's not a way where I can just go to a website. To my knowledge, maybe there is. I mean, there's so many projects, but is there a place, a protocol on Ethereum, for example, where it's like, if I think Ethereum is going to go up by 30%, I can get a 10X leverage on that?
So you could, so some of them that I mentioned, like Perpetual Finance and DYDX do provide that functionality that you can get that type of position. And cool. They are growing in popularity. Obviously,
and you guys are going to do that for the Luna ecosystem, basically.
Yeah. Our protocol will enable that. Now, the question is that this technology How is it best suited for our goal? And again, our goal isn't to just build yet another exchange. The DeFi ecosystem doesn't need yet another exchange. And then, right. but what it does need is killer products that are designed by creative people to onboard the and capture the onboarding of the next 100 million entrants into the ecosystem. And so we've got a very specific thought process as to what are our goals here. Our goals aren't, oh, let's just build, let's just build a technology and then throw it out into the wind, and then the DAO will manage it and whatnot, and maybe it'll be successful, maybe it won't be successful. And that's a lot of the mentality of many of the projects in DeFi today. And I'd like to kind of get into where I feel like DeFi is struggling and how we're uniquely positioned to solve DeFi's biggest problem. And that's where the dragons come in. But I want to make sure that we kind of tell the story in the right order. And so where we were up to in the story is that there is that we started telling stories. We started telling stories about dragons coming to Mars, and then who found the dragons? Well, the council found the dragons. Are the councils the good guys or the bad guys? Well, that really depends on, you know, what your view is. Everyone's the hero of their own story. So then we started creating a world. We started saying, okay, well, how did they get to Mars? When did it happen? What year is this happening in? What's the timeline? What do they eat for breakfast? What's their political infrastructure?
What do they eat for breakfast? Out of curiosity.
They eat it's primarily a grain-based diet. Nice. It's things so that
vegan are, dragons.
The dragon's favorite food is spiders. But I'm talking about the humans that live on Mars. Okay. Like, what are
vegan
they terraform?
Mars humans love it.
They're primarily because just meat is not again, it's not very efficient. You know, if water is a scarce resource, and heat and energy are a scarce resource, along with filtered, oxygenated air, you're definitely going to have a primarily vegan diet, just because of the efficiency there. I'm a meat eater. You know, I enjoy eating steak, but practically speaking, if we were all living on a planet with scarce resources, we would all be vegan. Maybe on holidays or something like that, but I digress. So we created this, this story, and then, we started seeing adoption, that we started seeing people just that they could relate more to a narrative of explaining leverage through a metaphor of a dragon and explaining the goal that Terra has come to solve, which is to really kind of break us free of the various controls that happen through nation states controlling our money. And so we really created a metaphor for why is crypto important in the first place, and why is an exchange which can generate assets that give exposure to anything. It's almost like this magic power. We wanted to build a community around this, and we felt that the best way to build a community would be to create an engaging atmosphere that would define ownership by something that was more tangible than simply a governance token, and definitely more personal, because there's a problem in DeFi, as I mentioned before, that we've all become mercenary farmers. There's no new entrance into the space. There's very little rhyme or reason to have long-term exposure to any type of asset. And there's even really great compounded interest LP positions, which again we broke away from the explain it like a 5-year-old, but really awesome platforms like Apollo, or which is on Terra, that you put in you farm And then instead of getting a governance token, it automatically dumps the governance token for you and then just buys more of your own asset. So you can, you know, that's like the, it's the complete opposite of the token economics of the network equity model or the governance token model, which has become the foundation of DeFi over the last really 18 to 24 months. And to break that down, if we look at the traditional DeFi model, then what it what is defined is primarily that we start out, we bring a new product to market, okay? And this this new product is brought to market, and it has very high farming rewards. Now, why does it have farming rewards? And what are we receiving? We're receiving the rights to be decision makers on the platform, the rights to control the treasury, the rights to control the upgrade, the rights to control the assets that are listed. If a product is truly desiring to be decentralized, then the all of the assets, every element of the DeFi protocol will be controlled eventually by the DAO, which is then controlled through democracy, which is the best form of government that we have, which is still so broken, but it's the best thing that we have. It fails less than all other governments, forms of governments. And so DeFi builders come with a protocol, and that protocol could be a perpetual exchange. It could be an AMM, it could be insurance, it could be lending, whatever that protocol is. And they just get more and more advanced and more challenging for the average consumer to understand what they do. But the good thing is that most DeFi protocols don't really concern themselves about getting any form of product market fit. All they need to do is just give out very high APY rewards, and then DeFi mercenary farmers will flock in. They will buy a bunch of the token. Maybe they'll participate in a lock drop. They will farm the heck out of it. That will cause a spike because it will cause a velocity drop within the economy, the growing economy of the token, which usually has a very low float. And then the farmers have no interest of aligning themselves long term with the protocol, or at least primarily they don't. And so what they do is, instead of depositing it into the DAO and then becoming an active participant in governance, they just dump it on an AMM, which then creates continuous downward pressure. Anytime you get past the honeymoon phase of a project, when the APYs were super high, and then they just move on to the next project that launches. And we're at a stage today where there are, every month, there's a cool new project with a decent team and a decent white paper and a good marketing budget and some great VCs behind them. And so you really can just have a full-time job of just cycling from one pool to the next, just constantly dumping governance tokens. And this is the this is really kind of the failure of many DeFi projects today, that they don't work hard enough to build a community, and they don't have any kind of a vision or any type of a motive narrative. So to tie this into NFTs, one of the things that we thought of was, okay, well, what if the way that you built a community wasn't just a hyper-inflated farming event? What if you built it around a story? What if you built it around a game? What if you built it around an NFT that that could evolve and change with the community and would constantly require focus and education? So now that would create almost a self-selecting group of community members that were not there for just the pump and dump, but were actually there and were kind of a Pavlovian trained to learn, to organize, to self-coordinate, to organize, and to participate. And if that kind of self-selective DNA became your core audience, then you could really build a new economic model that would not suffer the same fate as every other DeFi product. And it's not just small, obscure DeFi products that suffer this fate. It's even just look at the blue chip, the top on DeFi Pulse. They're all down 70, 80, 90% off of their highs, even though the market is on fire. And the governance portals are jokes. They're like ghost towns. And even to the point that people that DeFi protocols just start paying people to vote. And it never ends well when you just pay people to vote. So I said a lot here, and I'm starting to touch into the overlap and the philosophy behind creating a highly engaged NFT product that's not just a simple PFP. That's not something where most of the work kind of just goes in behind the launch, and then you just hype up the launch, and then you know you have a wait list, and you know you only get 10% of the people that wanted the NFT get it initially, and then they dump at like 10x price or 5x price on the next group of people, the larger onion, you know, ring around it. Where we really wanted to define something that or build an NFT project which would solve a purpose of curating a highly engaged community that was interested in doing something new.
Okay, cool. So there's a lot to unpack there, but I'm going to do my best to try and explain it how I understood it, and hopefully others as well. So we talked a little earlier, for those who were listening maybe 15 minutes ago, about AMMs and like what is Uniswap and what is it like and all that. And the thing about AMMs and things like Uniswap is you are able to trade for, like I gave the example of like I like to buy bytes, so I can exchange Ethereum for bytes. And the way that happens is people actually kind of stake, for lack of a better term, or provide liquidity is the correct term, their tokens. So you have a bunch of whales or people who put their tokens onto a liquidity pool so that people can trade. And they are rewarded sometimes with tokens, like even extra tokens. We saw this in the Solana ecosystem with the shadowy supercoders IDO, where if you were to basically provide liquidity on Orca, they would reward you with tokens. And so you basically have a bunch of people who have a lot of money, and they just bounce between all of the rewards that you get. So, and then what happens once the rewards dry up? Well, what Jonathan's saying is basically everybody leaves, and it's really bad for the protocol. And so what Levana is doing, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, Jonathan, is trying to kind of turn that model upside down. And what you're actually doing, Jonathan, is you're excluding the vast majority of people who are there for the pump and dump, or for the Ponzi, or who are just there for the quick rewards, and whoever can get out the fastest with the most return is basically the winner, and then they jump to the next one. So this group of people is often referred to as yield farmers. And so the yield farmers are basically just bouncing between rewards and just trying to take 10% here, 10% there, and just compounding that. And so you guys are kind of turning that upside down, and you're trying to reject people like that. And you're trying to attract a smaller, more dedicated group of people who wants to participate into the DAO and the governance. And how you are able to do that is through the NFTs. Is that a fair explain it like I'm 10, maybe explain it like I'm 15 explanation?
Yep. But the thing is that it goes a little bit beyond that. So now let's we've got a token economic model which we coined DeFi-tainment, which is a play on words because it's decentralized finance entertainment, but it's also decentralized finance containment, because we're trying to contain the governance token within the ecosystem and then keeping it from bleeding out. From the pressure of the yield farmers. So the a thought process of a way to do that is to create a form of entertainment, which is a game, and to have that game, and that game can evolve over time. And the game should target not the pump and dumpers like you mentioned, or the professional yield farmers, but rather it should its goal should be to attract a massive audience that's interested in number one, in speculating and making money, because that is a main value driver, but that shouldn't be the only thing that they're interested in. They should be interested in a shared experience. That that the more that you invest in understanding some of the complexities of that shared experience, the more gratifying it is. I don't know if you're a gamer, if you played things like Breath of the Wild or Skyrim, but the just simply, and even things like Clash of Clans, simply the process of learning the game loops, of learning the mechanics, figuring out how to level up within the ecosystem, how to evolve your character, those become opportunities for habit forming, for dopamine receptors in your brain to go off on a regular basis, and to create a platform where people come to it because they enjoy coming to it, and they don't only come just for to make money. And so our goal is to create a wide net, to build a game that's built on top of perpetual swaps, and then have that game marketed to a mass market audience. No whitelist, no limitations, not just for whales, for anybody. And then have people come into that game, learn about that game. And then the more that you play that game, the more you're exposed to the core DeFi financial tools underneath it. The better that you get in the game will also translate to the better that you get within the financial services. And then the more rewards that you get from the farms. Now, those rewards, obviously, they could just be taken and sold on the market. But now we're also giving an alternative, because those rewards can now be used to level up in your game. They can be used for equipment for your avatar. They can be used to feed your companion, your dragon, or some other type of a beast. They can be used, they can be burned to forge through, you can think of it like alchemy if you're a fan of Full Metal Alchemist, to form weapons, shields, new types of resources, health. And then all of those assets can also then be traded in a marketplace. So it's another revenue stream for the entire platform. Now, what you've done is you've made it that as a user is leveling up within the game, they're also leveling up within the DeFi. And then the rewards that they're getting, instead of just being forced to either decide, should I participate in governance, or should I dump the token, or maybe I should just sit on the token, now they're also given a very alluring third opportunity, which is that you can level up your character. So what we envision from this is that a massive audience will be attracted to come in to, they'll initially be attracted by the gameplay, which we have very high standards, and we have some of the greatest minds in terms of economic models and game design. You asked about our investors, Animoca, which has been responsible for many of the, five-star games in the blockchain space. So they're one of our investors. We are, we're incubated by Delphi, who are probably, you can't say single-handedly because it always takes a village, but for lack of a better term, single-handedly responsible for the breakout success of Axie Infinity. And then just to pause here is that we can't really take credit for this economic system. We learned this really through DeFi Kingdoms. So DeFi Kingdoms is a game. Really, it's not. It's hard to call it a game. DeFi Kingdoms is a fork of Uniswap. What DeFi Kingdoms did is they took Uniswap. They forked it, and they put a character, an avatar, which is represented by an NFT. They gave quests. They taught people about how to be liquidity providers through the use of analogy and different activities that then give bonuses and rewards. And so even though while it's a very light layer on top of an AMM like Uniswap, they've attracted 250,000 monthly players, and they've achieved a market cap, fully diluted, of roughly $7 billion. And they've done it all on a chain of Harmony One, which is a very obscure blockchain. It's a proof of authority EVM chain. It's a sidechain to Ethereum. It's you know, the one token is very challenging to get. So the more that we researched the success of DeFi Kingdoms, the more that we saw that that they were bringing people not from the crypto ecosystem, they were bringing people from TikTok and from Instagram and from Facebook. They really achieved something that pure DeFi protocols like could only have dreamed of bringing 250,000 people from Web 2 into Web 3. And so this is really where the light bulb went off. And we said, you know what? An AMM is not the right technology to build a gaming experience on top of. A perpetual swap is a much better tool to build a game economy on top of. And so we've been creating something that is leading up to our own version of DeFi Kingdoms, and that's, you know, a quality game takes about a year to build. That there's no way around that. You can't cut corners in gameplay, in design, but you can't. You also can't leave your audience just hanging for a year. So we've got a. So what we've done is we did an initial launch of a meteor shower. So what that meant was that it's essentially a loot box. So anybody could participate, and they could get this loot box, which was a meteor, you know, based on the science fiction fantasy story that we wrote. And that meteor,
Jonathan, let me pause you just for a quick sec. So, sure. Because I think we're getting into the core of the actual NFTs now that you guys have. So I just want to catch everybody up on the. In my best, and again, like I'm just trying my best here. I'm a learner, I'm a listener. And so basically you guys are building a super innovative protocol on Terra for being able to buy leverage in a decentralized fashion. And on top of that, you guys are also working with two of basically the biggest names in crypto gaming. So you said Animoca and Delphi, and you guys are building an actually, the goal is to build a really high quality game that's marketable to millions of people, similar to like a Clash of Clans, or you said DeFi Kingdoms or Axie Infinity, where everybody can play. And so right now, and there's going to be a long time period before that game is fully released, because you guys want to make sure it's super quality. You have investors, you have a big team, you want to do the QA, you want to make sure it's a fun game that people enjoy playing. And so there is going to be some time in between when the game releases and right now. And so in order to bridge that gap, we are now getting into the NFTs with the meteor dust and the dragons and the breeding and the baby dragons and the adult dragons. Is that a fair catch up to where we are right now?
Absolutely. And so okay. There's really two tracks. There's four independent teams that work on Levana. So there's the leverage basket team, which has completed audit and will launch roughly 2 weeks after Mars launches. So that will be this quarter, please God, and that will launch with the product Luna 2X, and that's a pure DeFi play that we will gamify the experience. But it's a core technology, because also what's important to us is not that we just piggyback off of existing technologies, but that we really innovate from the foundational level as to what is capable on public blockchains. So that's the first team is called the LLI, the Levana Leverage Index, and again that will launch with Luna 2X. Now the second team is the Perpetual Swap team. And that will be the backend for the Magnum Opus game. Now, it'll also be a pure DeFi product, meaning you'll be able to go to a website and there will be, you know, red and green candles. It'll probably be light purple and dark purple, because that's our color scheme. But you'll also be able to, a community will control it. They will own it. They will be able to decide what assets they want to have minted on it, what contracts should be traded, things like that. The third team is focused around the DAO and really more of the community, and then making sure that the community's voice is heard and that this is a community-driven project. And then the last team is the NFT and gaming team. And the NFT and gaming team has had four major releases so far. The first was the meteor shower. The second was the cracking event. The third was the nesting egg. And I'll walk through each of those. And then the fourth, which was actually released today, is the first of a number of mini games. And the cadence, our goal is to release an NFT mini game roughly every 6 to 8 weeks, which is, I mean, as fast as humanly possible from a team that wants to, you know, audit their code and not break things or God forbid lose people's money. But all of these teams will come together in roughly a year's time with the creation of what we believe will be the most ambitious project, not just within the NFT space, not just within Terra, not just within DeFi, but will be the most ambitious project that has ever happened in crypto. That's our goal.
That's amazing.
Or go home.
I love it. And I want to ask, like, because now I think we're really getting into the core of what a lot of people are curious of, which is the NFTs. So I know people want to ask questions and we've had people request, and I'm sorry I haven't taken any of those yet, but I promise in, let's say, like 10 minutes here, Jonathan, because surprisingly, we've been talking for over an hour, which has been awesome because I've been learning a lot and I'm just really impressed with what you guys are doing and the team. And I love learning about these kind of like people who are doing really, really big things because, those are some really good opportunities from an investment perspective. There's also risks when people do really, really big things because you guys have four different teams that are all converging and all working towards the same goal. And if one piece can't figure it out or making them all come together, you know, there's risk there too. So, you just want to let people know, like, yeah, this isn't like, because I think if everyone's been on this call from the beginning, it's like, all right, this team is absolutely stellar. They have basically top tier A+ backing from the biggest, I guess you could say VC or supporters in crypto right now. And you guys are going for the absolute grand slam, like one of the most ambitious crypto projects that I've actually probably ever heard of. Like, I would agree with you there, Jonathan. So I think that's awesome. So let's talk about the NFTs. I want to hear about the game and hopefully we can wrap up in 10 minutes. And so if you guys have questions, we'll take a couple at the end here. I'm actually most interested in the game that you said. You said it went live today. Like, can I play it or do I have to own an NFT to play it? Like, can we play
you
it?
You do need to own. Yeah. So it's a mini game. So it's a mini game that's designed to delight and to help bring attention to the project and to just help the community come together. And the mini game will be part of something that we put together, which is called Factions, we made talismans. But let me tell the NFTs in the right order, because one of the complaints that we've heard is that, look, we see all these, we go to Random Earth, we go to Nowhere, we go to, other NFT stores on Terra, and there's like five different categories of Levana NFTs. I have no idea what to get. That was also done on purpose because the people that are just trying to look to flip, it's that they're never going to figure it out. And so we could have just put them all together. We could have just had one floor. But again, it's that we're looking to attract the type of people that, that love, like that love mysteries, that love Da Vinci Code, that love playing the game like The Room, that adventure and excitement and quest and emotional attachment are important to them. And then the ones that are just kind of like fleeting with a glance, it's going to be they're probably going to glance over the project. And so there's pros and cons of that approach. And it's always a delicate balance, and we're very open for feedback. Our DMs are open, but it's actually very simple once you kind of just either read our blog or watch one of the example videos, or even just try the product out. It all starts with the meteor shower. So the meteors came, and they fell to Mars, and meteor hunters primarily from the clan of the, or the tribe of the Free Martians, which is the tribe that that left after the Civil War happened on Mars. So the meteors were collected, and then the meteors are cracked open to either reveal dragon eggs inside of them or to reveal dust. Now there's roughly 9,000 dragon eggs. We had roughly 6,500 people participate in the meteor shower. And that resulted in the creation of 41,000 meteors. Those 41,000 meteors, it was the largest minting in the entire Cosmos ecosystem. It was the most number of participants. And it also, that people donated whatever amount that they wanted to participate in the meteor shower. And then purely just through donations, it brought in $4 million, which will be used to seed the very first pool of Luna 2X. Now, it won't only be used to for that pool. It'll also be used to build the game and to, you know, to compensate the artists. But it was really nice for people to know that what you're doing is you're providing protocol liquidity. And then in exchange, you get to participate in this shared experience that's been created through this event. Now, the meteor shower was the first part of the game. Now, cracking the meteors came about 3 weeks later, and then people broke the meteors up and revealed either that they got an egg or they got dust. Now, the dust has lots of different characteristics. And again, it's about creating that mystery. So some of the characteristics in the dust are just complete red herrings. They have absolutely nothing to do with any future plans of the game. You don't see the visual here, but we see that that even though it wasn't designed for flipping, you know, people have done pretty well for themselves if they stuck around and they learned how to use the game. So there was certain rarity, there were certain assets within the meteors, and then if you cracked it open and you got dust, so then you saw that the dust had all of these interesting features. So it, first of all, the dust, it could be a full bottle of dust, a half a bottle of dust, a quarter bottle of dust. It could have a spirit level associated to it, which is like kind of its like power. It has a rune infusion, a gem, and a composition. Now, because of the fact that a bunch of people got dust and a bunch of people got eggs, and we actually ran the math, you know, I'm not a big math guy. I'm a medium math guy, but we've got some big math guys and math girls on our team that like worked out like very nuanced, all kinds of crazy, calculations to like balance all of this out. But you actually, in order to, once you got your egg, as for the story, the egg has been sitting for essentially millions of years, or at least tens of thousands of years, you know, some of the eggs, unfertilized. So there needed to be a process to kind of kickstart the incubation process. So that we called nesting. Now, for nesting, the way that you nested, or that you can nest, is through you essentially take an egg, and then you find or you either own in your collection, because many people ended up getting multiple. The average amount was six meteors per user that participated in the meteor shower, which was a lot more than we thought. We thought it would be around three, but what we worked out the math was that everybody that participated should more or less should have at least one egg, and then should have enough dust that they can that they've got about a 60% chance that they'll have matching dust. Now, if they don't have matching dust, then they can go to the secondary market, and we have very detailed instructions. You look at what's the composition of your egg, which is some of the metadata in the egg. You go out and you find a bottle of dust, which is the same tier rarity.
I don't know if it's my internet or if it's Jonathan's. Can somebody like flame some emojis to see if I'm the one who's disconnected right now? Okay, I'm seeing some emojis flaming here. All right, thanks, guys. I think it's Jonathan's internet. So, all right, we're getting some requests here. Lots of flamed emojis. Thank you, everybody. I think I'm gonna pick this guy who's flaming like crazy here. So I want to recap really quick because we finally got to the NFT part, which I think is good. Okay, Lavana's now a listener. Let me see if I can promote invite to speak. And hopefully Lavana will be here in a second. Okay, so this is where I'm at so far. There's basically a few pieces of the actual NFT component here. So it looks like the meteors were the first piece. And I went to Nowhere Art, which is the... it's kind of like the Magic Eden of Luna, Terra Luna. And the meteors right now are trading for around, like I'm looking at a floor price here. They're trading for about 3 Luna, which I think is about $200, something like that. And then the dust, so this is, I believe it's one of the byproducts of the meteor. This is trading for 0.3 floor, which is about $30. And then the eggs, which I'm assuming have dragons inside, the cheapest one you can buy is 10 Luna. So that's about $800, I think. I didn't check the price of Luna today. Maybe it's $750. So that's kind of the evolution. It looks like you basically take your dust and you mash it up with an egg. And then hopefully I would assume that you create some type of dragon from it. So I see on their website that the next, I guess, two are baby dragons and then adult dragons. So that's where we stand. I'm going to open up some questions because it looks like Lavana is having some internet issues. And so I'm going to go with Christopher, and because he has been flaming emojis. And so he must have something good to say here. So let me add you as a speaker and let's see how this goes. All right, cool. What's up, Christopher?
Hey, JPEG Lord. I'm doing good. I had so many questions for Jonathan. He really went way more in depth than I expected. But I mean, I guess in the meantime, I could direct towards you for... There's a couple of projects I know from the Terra Luna space right now on the game side that's really interesting. He spoke about Animoca and some of the projects they're working on. Comtuos is very interesting to me because they are one of the premier free-to-play mobile developer and publishers. And I did want to ask if they were working with Lavana for their, I think it's called the C2X coin. But again, I don't know if this is too specific of a question.
Yeah, why don't we, do you mind just hanging on for a minute? I'm going to take another question because that's definitely
for sure, for sure.
Focus, and I'm not at all familiar with that. So let's go with Crypto Coach Steve. I'm going to add Crypto Coach Steve, everybody. Hopefully he'll coach us here on some cryptos. All right, Steve, are you in? Steve, can you hear me? All right, well, I don't hear Steve. Christopher, you're not hearing anything, are you?
Yeah, I'm not hearing anything as well.
All right, well, Crypto Coach Steve, this is your time to shine, and I don't know. I'm gonna have to remove you from speakers, I think, but it was certainly a pleasure. Okay. Let's see here. Let's see if Lavana is back in here. I think they got kicked out, and then they were back again. So, all right. Well, I'm gonna kind of recap because people might have joined at the end, and I think we're kind of wrapping up here. If you guys have any questions, please feel free. So in terms of the recap here, I just want to tell you guys from an NFT collector, somebody who's been in this space for a while, where my head's at with this. So I don't know if I've ever encountered a project that has this much investment, this much of a team. Like I said, if you guys were on earlier, I went to LinkedIn and I typed in Lavana Protocol and there's 23 people work for the team. I can click. I actually have shared connections with some of these people. And I've actually done this before where I will actually reach out to a shared connection. I know it sounds crazy, but I care a lot about, like, not only when I invest for myself, obviously I want something that's going to be really good. But you guys see, I tweet out and I want to give good projects to people. I want other people to, have all the information available, and there's so much just crap out there right now. It's actually really sad. There's rugs happening almost every day. But I did this, for example, with Shadowy Supercoders. I knew somebody who was a good friend of mine, my roommate in college. He was friends with the founder of Radium, and Radium was a a customer of Genesis Go, which is the Shadowy Supercoders, their underlying NFT. And I actually reached out to them. I was like, hey, can you ask them if they're actually customers, what the experience is like and all that? So with Levana Protocol, I mean, they're basically aiming for what I see as a grand slam opportunity in terms of doing what he said, which is the biggest project, not just on Terra, not just on NFTs, but on crypto as a whole. Now, there are risks with this. There's many, many huge projects that have had tons of investment and backing and all of that, and they fail. Because the more that you try to do, the higher your chances are of failure. Because he has four different teams and they're all working together, right? And if one of them doesn't pull up, I don't want to say the whole thing fails, because I feel like Levana Protocol could be successful on its own. But, you know, tying all these pieces together, it's a huge kind of pie in the sky goal here. And if they're able to do this successfully and people are able to trade with leverage in a way that they haven't before, I mean, just see if even one of them works. It's pretty amazing. So the thing that I really did want to ask Jonathan about kind of at the end is, what can we cater to to somebody who's more of a passive investor? Because I definitely am. I like to buy, like, one of the things I like about, and this isn't a recommendation, but there's a project called High Roller Hippo Club on the Solana blockchain. It's a casino and they just airdrop me Solana every day. And that's awesome. And I don't know why they do it. I didn't do anything except for mint a few. And I just sit back and every day they airdrop me Solana. And it's nice. Same Turtles does this, bunch of other casino plays that do this. That's nice. And I understand things like DeFi Kingdoms. The thing that I like about it is they are appealing to the masses, you know, which DeFi Kingdoms did, and so did Axie Infinity. So even it doesn't take $1,000 to buy the NFT to play the game. And those games don't do well either. The mass market games do really well. And so that's really appealing to me. So I want to know how I can make money as a passive investor. If anybody knows that, I'm happy to bring them up. Okay, I'm going to bring in another speaker here. Hopefully it's one. We got the DeFi Zealot. I'm going to add it looks like a Galactic Punk. So probably much more sophisticated of a Luna NFT person here. So yeah, Mr. DeFi Zealot, how can I help you?
Hey, I just wanted to provide some more information just because Jonathan couldn't make it so far. And I've been in Luna for quite a while now in terms of, you know, that's the blockchain that I follow mostly. You know, I only have investment in other ones, little bits. And so I can definitely answer questions. But with the way that you were talking about validating a project with, like, reaching out through LinkedIn, it's a really good idea. But also it's like public knowledge in terms of, like, you know, the Levana Protocol, they're not actually they already had a product, like a financial product that they're working on with those teams right beforehand. And then when the NFT craze came to Luna, they were like, oh, hey, we should also, you know, add this NFT and gaming piece to our products as well, right? And that's what DeFi Kingdom was doing, right? Like they're kind of like, they started off the game and the actual, like, liquidity farming and all of that all together. But these guys started out like, hey, we're going to provide a service that you can leverage any asset, right? And in this case, you know, they're going to start with a 2x Luna. And, you know, so if you're investing in the Terra blockchain and into Luna, their product is going to be one of the, you know, main money Legos in the ecosystem, right? And they're, you know, really recognized by, you know, the Terraform Foundation, right? Or Terraform Labs. And then Jonathan actually just got chosen as one of the guys that, like, Luna just I guess the Terra ecosystem, they just came up with this new Terra Foundation Guard. And it's kind of like, you know, a guardian group of people that'll be looking at making sure that the reserves are all functioning. It's like a nonprofit group, right? And Jonathan actually just got elected to be part of that, right? So it's way bigger than the Levana Protocol as well in terms of what Jonathan is doing, right? And so, you know, I And I've been following him for quite a while, and I really respect and like the guy. And he's really in it for, you know, improving blockchain technologies for people, right? So when they're doing an NFT project, it's like coming from the right place, right? And the mechanisms and things that they're doing in terms of, you know, having eggs and then dragons and meteors and all of that, it's just fascinating. And, you know, if I would trust anyone to do an NFT project, it would be these guys, right? That's my take.
So can I ask you, I have two questions for you. The first one is like, okay, so what about an average NFT person like myself? You know, I consider myself to be a degenerate, useless JPEG collector. And, you know, what if I'm kind of interested in this after this conversation. Like, so my take on that is like, okay, I like the team. Jonathan's clearly like next level, top tier, super smart guy. How can but I don't have time to like play a game. I mean, I play games every single night. I play like Hearthstone, and I've been playing Hades right now on the Xbox. And I like playing games, but like, I don't know if I really want to. Like, is this not a good fit for me? Or can I like somehow just buy a dragon? Because I would like to, I almost want to invest in this team and invest in the vision. How do I do that? Is there any way for me to do that? Or do I have to like really get into it, you know, acquaint myself with the game mechanics to be successful? Like, I guess I don't want to get into a scenario where it's like, cool, I want to buy a dragon. And then, you know, all these people who are really good at the game, are, you just have this huge edge on me. Do you know if there's a way that a passive investor can benefit from this?
I think like you just said, you started with a passive NFT collector, right? So if you just buy the dragon, and you know, what's going to happen is that you're going to get the benefit of the Terra Luna ecosystem going nuts, right? Like they're really at a parabolic kind of point where they're building all these products that's going to bring the ease of investing in crypto to the masses, right? So when you're holding a dragon, right, or an egg right now, right, it's going to, like Luna is going to appreciate in value, and then your dragon is going to appreciate in value, right? That's the very basic piece. Like you don't even have to play the game or even look into Levana. If you just hold a dragon, like I'm bullish, right? But my thing is like, it's going to be about almost close to 1,000 by the end of the year. And in 4 years, Luna is going to be probably like a couple thousand dollars, or, you know, even upwards of like $5,000 for holding Luna, right? And the dragons are not going to depreciate, right? We're at $80 Luna right now. And if you buy the egg, that's actually a really good deal at the moment, because it's not as big of an NFT world. Like we just recently had quite a influx of people coming in from Solana and ETH into Terra Luna, and it's just starting to take off, right? So all you have to do, like in my opinion, is just buy one of these eggs and hold it, even if you buy a common one, right? And you're going to see at least like 5-10 X in the next little while. And if you're holding on to it further, you know, it's going to get to a point where, you know, you're going to get ridiculous returns just by holding a dragon, right? And you can optionally play the game and stuff too. I'm not planning on doing that myself. When they were doing the meteor showers, I went in and picked up, you know, 30 or so meteors, and ended up with 6 eggs out of those. And, you know, that's all I'm going to do. I'm not really into the game part as much. That's what I'm doing with DeFi Kingdoms as well, right? Like the most of the money that I'm making is from providing liquidity inside of the DeFi Kingdom, right? I'm not really doing even though I bought a couple of heroes, I'm not really doing the gaming part of it as much, because what I noticed is that unless you, you know, go full time on it, you're not going to make as much from the hero and grinding as you do by just investing money in there, right?
Yeah.
So that would be my advice. Yeah. So just, you know, get as many of these eggs as you can afford and just hold on. And that would be the best strategy, I think.
So if I were to buy a meteor today, because I'm on, so again, I'm on nowhere.art, nowhere yeah. spelled like I know, no you, not N-O. Yeah. So like, could I buy a meteor and could there be an egg inside of that? Like, is that like a little lottery?
Well, yeah, box or? That's a lottery box. Yeah. So either you're either going to get a, you're either going to get an egg or a dust, right? And the dust is also kind of deceitful. Like at first it feels like, oh, you know, I got a dust that's not, no use, not useful at all. But when you use the dust to do the utilities, like you'll be able to, you know, buy gear for your avatar and then, you know, mount for the dragon and that kind of stuff. Like all of those items you'll be able to buy with the dust, right?
So I'm going to buy a meteor right now. Which one should I buy? Can I open it? How does it work?
So with the meteor, like, I mean, if you want to guarantee a dragon, right, you would buy an egg, right? But if you,
yeah, but I want the risk. If you want to, I want to open yeah, it if you on, want the risk, on the then, spaces. Can I open it in the yeah. next like minute? Or does it take time?
No, you can do it right away. Yeah.
All so right, let's do it right now.
You have to go to Levana Protocol's website.
Wait, which one should right? I buy first?
So what are you trying to get? You're trying to get a meteor?
Yeah, I'm buying a meteor. I'm going to buy one
so
right
meteors,
now.
So meteors, they have a few different, like they have like the common meteors and then like rare.
I'm just going to buy a common. Ancient. Should I just buy the floor yeah. one?
Yeah, sure. Go, let's okay. let's try
just
it out.
Just so you know, so, this is financial advice. So if I lose money on this, I'm gonna find you. Hey, I'm gonna find come you, on, Mr. Man. DeFi Zlot. Okay,
you know,
so
okay, if you
I'm
want
buy...
financial advice, though, I would say buy an egg because you know you have I think like 1 in 30 or I don't remember the odds chance of getting an egg when
oh,
you
so
open
the egg
a meteor
because
right?
like because yeah because an egg's only like 3 times the cost. But I
yeah
but
the
I,
egg
but I want
you,
the fun. I'm here for the fun. Yeah. So I'm going to buy yes. the floor one. I just bought one for 2.96 E or sorry, not ETH, Luna. So that was like $250. Okay. And then now what do I do? So I go to app dot or Levana.
Yeah. It's like, I think it's you go to Levana.finance.
Okay. Yeah. Levana.finance. Okay.
And
I'm going.
Click on dragon.
Okay. 1 second. Levana.finance. Oh man, if it's a dragon egg, what if I get like a really rare one? Okay, clicked on dragon.
Yeah, and then at the top, there's like a crack.
Crack, okay. Yeah. Let me connect my wallet. We got extension wallet.
Oh yeah, do you have a...
I got wallet? It, it's in here. My yeah. common meteor, super yeah. lame. All right, I'm gonna crack my meteor, everybody. So not to select, right. I understand NFTs have no monetary value. I'm already aware of this. I've lost all my money on NFTs. I love how they just throw it away. Okay, it's cracking. So the little dragon icon is loading. It's like a spinning dragon. And it right. Looks like it's about halfway done. Meteor sent to cracking wallet, waiting for server to complete minting. So this is very exciting.
all right.
How long does it take to crack? It's still cracking. Oh, now it's kind of moving a little more.
Yeah,
still waiting probably, for server to mint.
Yeah, it oh, doesn't take on, long. Mana. It's probably a minute or so, probably, I'd say. But, you know, most likely you're going to end up getting...
cracked. I got my meteor dust. I got dust.
You got your meteor
which
dust.
Which you told me
okay.
not to do. No, and so this was my fault. But
yeah,
let's
no,
see
that's
here.
Okay.
I got,
what the, what's the floor
I got
of
some
the
gems.
Dust right now?
It's like 0.2, so I basically just lost like $200.
No, 0.2 is about $15, right? And how much?
Yeah,
did
but
you
I
buy
paid
the...
like 200 for the. I basically lost like 2.5 Luna. On
yeah,
this.
But you know, hold on to that because you do need that for if you end up getting just an egg, then you do need this for nesting the egg. Or if you have if you buy already nested egg, which is under dragons, right? That's what I would go for. Like it's the best deal right now. If you for sure want a dragon, it's like you'd end up you would want to get a nested egg, which is under the dragon side of things.
Okay, so I go to Nowhere. I'm at nowhere.art. Is that like the main marketplace where people are buying Levana stuff right now?
Yeah, there's Random Earth as well. Nowhere and Random Earth, and I find the floor is different in the each one of those depending on how the marketplace is going, right? So
yep.
So
do I buy an egg? So I'm in Levana Dragon's eggs, or do I actually buy a dragon?
buy the dragon, because those guys are going to be already they've already added the dust, right? So you kind of get.
Wait, so the dragons are only 6.5 Luna, but the eggs were like 9. So why are the dragons?
Yeah, that's just because of a discrepancy in the market right now, right? Like, it is actually a better
dragons
deal.
Are a little undervalued, because I'd have to match it with the dust, right?
Yeah, because you'd have to buy dust or match the right dust, right, and then add it to the egg to make it into a dragon, right? So I think buying the dragon is the best deal at the moment. What's the floor of the dragon right now?
6.5.
Yeah, so I mean that would be what I would do at the moment, but again, not financial advice. And I think Christopher has his hand up.
Yeah, let's let Christopher speak. By the way, I'm seeing Levana Dragons is back, but I don't see them. Does anybody else see them in the chat?
Don't see. I just see Cameron either. Jordan from the Saints in the chat, which is mind blowing.
Oh, very cool. Welcome. Oh, I see the board. Hey, very cool. We have a very progressive NFL player in here. That's great. Welcome, Cameron. Thanks for joining. Christopher,
I mean, honestly, I was going to play devil's advocate. I've been in free-to-play gaming for near a decade. I don't want to dox myself completely. But in terms of JPEG Lord, I know you were a friend of Peter from Dronies, and their approach to how they're creating game utility is, I think it's much safer, because I do agree that, sure, these eggs are going to probably have some value. This dust is going to be needed to hatch these eggs. And the reason the eggs cost more is because there's going to be certain dragons later that they're going to need in the gachapon, the whole mechanic, right? And I don't need to go into that details of it because Jonathan was going into it. But that being said, why rush the in-game assets when we don't even know what the game is? Again, I'm not here to chill Dronies, but their approach to the whole thing has been, hey, we want to build the community first to get around not just the assets in a gameplay world, but because they love these little birds with John Wick art and all this different stuff, and then apply it to a real game world. We don't know what the game is going to be. Knowing Peter, it's going to be a shooter, but it can be an open world MMORPG. For what I'm looking at, I'm looking at it too. I love how gung-ho you were about doing all this stuff, and I love that you did it so I don't have to do it myself. But like, where is that trust come? Trust is so hard of a word, but in terms of roadmap and game development, like, do we trust this team to be able to deliver something more than a mini game? And this is more directed towards DeFi Zealot.
Yeah, so actually I see Jonathan is as a listener already in here. He should be probably coming up here. So JPEG, can you add him as
the
speaker?
Don't see him. Let's see here.
I see him right.
Let me see if I can. Yeah, keep talking. I'm going to try to get him in here.
Okay, sounds good. So, sorry, Christopher.
Oh, I see him. There we go.
Yeah. So your question was about trusting the team. Yeah, so, you know, as I said, I've seen Jonathan, you know, talking about how passionate he is in terms of, and he's been, you know, one of the OG crypto investors, right, in the space, and has been like he's not in it for making money as much as.
I think I need to clarify. It's not so much I don't trust that their intentions or anything. It's very, very hard to make a good game. And without the experience of, like, let's say they're just looking for a game designer, right? Like, there's a difference between getting a free-to-play game designer versus building GTA 5 versus building Stardew Valley. You need something very specific. So how do you know that in this roadmap, outside of the fact that they have a very basic core free-to-play gacha system, that the game environment for these in-game assets are going to be worthwhile for these users? Like, not everyone can get as lucky as Axie Infinity did for being first to market. Like, we don't even know what this gameplay core game loop is going to be.
Yeah. And, you know, I'm probably not the right person to be talking around that because I'm not a game specialist myself. My investment is more speculative just around the NFT itself, just like JPEG here. Right?
Hello?
Like, hey, Jonathan.
All right, Jonathan.
Oh, gosh. Sorry. I just had my phone restarted, and then I had to upgrade the Twitter app, which
Surprisingly large app. Sorry about that, everybody.
I was the Levana ambassador in the meantime. But hey, Christopher, I want to speak to what you're saying. Listen, like, you're not saying anything wrong. Making a AAA game like GTA, or we see it with Star Atlas, right? Like, I was, probably people aren't going to like me saying this, but I was a bit of a Star Atlas bear because I saw what they were trying to build, and I know what it takes to build a game like that. Like, it takes, like, tens of millions, if not hundreds of millions of dollars to build something like
a AAA GTA. Game starts at $200 million today. And, like, that's
right, none of millions. Us.
And it takes like 5 years. You know, Nintendo spent like 9 years building Breath of the Wild.
Yeah, and it could suck. That's the thing, too. But I think the point here, Christopher, is, and I'm not disagreeing with what you're saying, I'm agreeing with you. My point, though, is someone is going to do that, right? So someone is going to make a Star Atlas or a GTA or whatever. There is going to be a World of Warcraft equivalent to in Web3 space. And there's already been a couple that have done a great job. The ones that are doing well are like kind of dumb little pixelated games that are addicted, where they don't actually have to work on the gameplay itself. They just make it addicting and it's fine. Someone is going to do it. We don't know who it's going to be, but agreed. It's like a one in a hundred. Like, it's probably 1 in 100 because there's only probably going to be 100 people that can afford, you know, the $200 million buy-in. So yeah, I'm not disagreeing with you. I think for us as, you know, people who are looking to maybe invest or who are interested in this, it's who can do the most research and figure out, like, is this going to be the one? Can the team pull it off? Because, you know, if you can get in early and something like that, it's great. But yeah, chances are it's not. I agree with you. So, Jonathan,
I heard some really interesting feedback from Christopher, because I was listening. I just couldn't. You guys couldn't. I was offline for, I don't know, I guess maybe 8 minutes. But he mentioned that. Why start out with game assets? Why start out with a companion? That's really the real question. Is why start out with some of the two core? And I guess it's because we wanted to go with an MVP approach, and we wanted to be able to test different aspects. You know, there's one approach where you say, you know what, we're going to go into a cave or a bunker. We're going to spend 2 years. This is kind of what I feel like Star Atlas did. And I was actually, it's funny that you mentioned that you were a bear. I've actually always been very supportive of the project. Look, they, I think it's very ambitious, and I play a lot of games. Most of the games I play are either on Switch or on Oculus, but, it is, and games that, that have a huge budget like what they have, which is much larger than what Levana has. You know, we, like, to be fully transparent, you know, we're looking at around a $10 million budget. So that you're not going to build a Breath of the Wild or Skyrim off of that. But what you can do is do something iterative that has a lot of community feedback and allows for the community, while the game is being created, to build that audience. To allow them to feel like they own it and they're part of the creation process. And so that's really why you want to start with getting game assets in the hands of a core community, allowing them to those assets to evolve over time. And then each step of the way, as they evolve, to have a direct line of communication with the players so that you can course correct as early as possible. And this just comes from my background as from building startups. You know, this is like, I've had two exits. I was in a very successful hedge fund, and I built, you know, five companies that were unsuccessful, and you learn more from your failures than your successes. And one of the things that I failed with any consumer product design is that when you build too much in a vacuum. And you don't sanity check consistently along the way, then the risk increases significantly over time. And so by taking this approach of, let's get something in the hands of a community, let's get them to either care about it or not care about it. Let's throw away all of our assumptions. Let's throw away the some of the rule books that, you know, kind of are, you know, have been. Everybody else has been playing to, and then let's build something slowly with the community. And that was the approach that we wanted to take. And at least to date, It seems like it's working.
JPEG, I'm just going to it's not really a rebuttal, just as a response to it. I really love the community UGC-based approach of game development, but there's so much to do in a vacuum. Like, I'm almost treating this as like these eggs and dragons and dust is like a Kickstarter platform, right? But usually when you have the Kickstarter, you can have these indie projects. I think last year, Iron Gate did a great job with Valheim, right? It's a third person. It's sort of like Minecraft. It's a great game. They could have easily had some kind of blockchain built into it. What was that?
I think Jonathan's having some issues, so I just muted him. It seemed like a frustrated sigh, and I don't think he was sighing it, though maybe he was.
Oh, no.
You're smashing his dreams. No, but I think here, let's simplify this a bit. What they're doing is ambitious, to say the least. And the whole thing, the whole expression of high risk, high reward is like, this is early, right? And so chances of success, I don't want to put a number on it, but it might not be extremely high. But the potential upside is very high, like, you know, because this is like extremely ambitious. So I think is that fair, Christopher?
Yeah, again, I didn't want to turn this into a witch hunt or anything like that. Jonathan, I'm really excited.
It's not at all.
Everything you guys are doing. I'll keep a really good eye on it. I'm not big on Twitter. I'm a LinkedIn only guy. But because of all these spaces coming up, like, it's just been interesting being able to talk to you guys directly. Really appreciate the time. I'll shoot you guys some DMs. I know I got no followers, but just know I am a real person.
Awesome, man. We appreciate you joining, and thanks for your questions and respectful discourse. And it looks like Jonathan hopped off again. And you guys, I think we're wrapping up here. If anybody has any final questions, like, feel free. But the one last thing I was going to do before if Jonathan came back was I was going to see if he could give me a refund on that meteor that I opened up. And I only got the space dust because I wanted a dragon egg. And Jonathan is a dev. And so I'm thinking, devs, let's do something here. Merrick's peacing out. Thanks for coming, Merrick. You're the man. Yeah, I don't know if Jonathan's going to give me my refund, unfortunately. So we'll have to save that for another one. I think we're going to wrap up here. You guys, thank you so much for joining. This was super insightful. I'm going to be recapping some of my thoughts on the Levana protocol and also the Levana Dragons and upcoming future spaces I'm doing. I'm going to do one on one-of-one art pieces because I've talked to you guys a lot before about how being early is super important. The people I know who built generational wealth are the guys who minted Ethereum and were mining Bitcoin when it was like 3 cents and were buying it then. I mean, I'm talking about the guys who are billionaires or worth hundreds of millions of dollars. And so for me, I'm kind of addicted to being early. And that's why I've kind of dove into this Luna NFT ecosystem. And the next thing I'm just starting to see chatters of is one-of-one NFTs. And no one is buying, like, I saw one go, like, the biggest sale was like 16 SOL or something. And so I'm super interested in the one-of-one space. I want to be one of the first buyers of one-of-ones. One-of-ones basically just means that there's only one NFT. It's not a 10,000 collection. Like, these are real artists working on it. So that is going to be the next Twitter Spaces I host. I will definitely be posting about it on Twitter. Thank you, everybody, so much for joining. I really appreciate it. I hope you guys learned something. I learned a lot. And we will talk soon. Have an amazing weekend. All right. Take care, everybody.
Thanks for checking out another episode of The Ether. That was Levana Dragons Explained Like I'm 10, hosted by JPEG Lord, recorded on Thursday, January 20th, 2022. This episode of The Ether is brought to you by Orbital Command, a community validator on Terra dedicated to educating, expanding, and promoting the Lunatic community. Take advantage of their Terra Luna Intel report on Telegram, bringing you the hottest news and updates on all things Terra. Find the link in the show notes. You can also support their community efforts by considering them next time you're delegating or redelegating your Luna. Find out more at orbitalcommand.io. TerraSpaces appreciates their support. For TerraSpaces.org, I'm Finn. Thanks for listening. Looking at the damn place, spitting over sound waves. Kick a little rhyme and we'll see if the crowd waves. Take note the brows raise up when the mouse hits taste buds. Dick dastardly trying to race us. Cannonball run from the west to the east coast. Got the ghosts on my team leaving in a repo. Scheming on a free toe, siphoning in the gas up. Riding high as NASA and we about to blast off. Ain't nobody pass us, hungry like some raptors. Attacking in a pack like a bunch of fucking savages. Handling in the packs, always shipping out disaster. Magic is simple if you practice with a master. Trying to show the homies I think there could be a better way. Every day I write a verse, trying to get this pen in shape. Living like a mental patient, embracing the basics. I see a queen on the table while I'm holding aces.
Let me give you a sample of some of the lyrics that had some of the older ladies among the stockholders quite with dismay. The room was death still, a sea of shocked, frozen, blanched faces. Then I delivered another volley of really sick lyrics.
Subtle on the double trouble, popping all the bubbles open. Silent, I'm the one who comes to ruin all the funny moments. Ollie, Ollie, oxen, opium, that Oxycontin. Got the oxytocin falling around the people like a Roxy smoking. Okie dokie, Annie Oakley, joking like Yoki Annie. Hoping those who broken jokes are broken, softly spoken. Can he rope a dope around the throat and coast him all alone? To sleep it off later, like just give the dog a bone. Roam around the globe like a motherfucking satellite. Smoke a lot of weed, always gotta be satisfied. Soaking up the dream state, trying to live la vida loca. But for now, I settle for a smile and a coca. Who makes the bundles? Repping all the fun tools. Looking all around like there's nowhere to run to. Got the plug, what's new on the drug? 1-2. Sticking with the dope, my homies growing, that's one truth.
I got my 12 gauge sawed off. I got my headlights turned off. I'm about to bust some shots off. I'm about to dust some cops off. I got my 12 gauge sawed off. I got my headlights turned off. I'm about to bust some shots off. I'm about to dust some cops off.
Terror Spaces.